Today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family, and this feast is so important for us today because, remember back in 1984, Sister Lucia, who was one of the visionaries from Fatima, wrote a letter to Cardinal Caffara, and she said, "The final battle between the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of Christ will be over marriage and the family." Well, that was 1984, and now we're in it. And so the devil is throwing everything in his power at marriage and family to try to destroy them. He knows if he can destroy marriage, he not only destroys the family, he destroys the church, and he destroys society, because marriage is the foundation of all of those. And so they've done all kinds of things, but it all started with trying to redefine what a family is. In fact, it has become so ludicrous that there was a very unfortunate priest over in Italy who took Saint Joseph out of the manger scene and put a second Blessed Mother in there, because people, you know, define families differently these days. So we have two women instead of a man and a woman. So not only is it wrong, but it's obviously historically inaccurate and everything else. But it's this nonsense of saying that marriage isn't necessarily between one male and one female. We've tried to redefine everything, and it has been a disaster. But the ones that are hurt the most, of course, are the children. Because the security and stability of their parents' marriage is the stability and security of the children. So we really need then to look at what is the foundation of a holy family and recognize that what God is calling those of you who are married, that He is calling you to be holy. He is calling you to be saints, to help one another to become saints and to raise up new saints to God. A lot of people in their marriages settle for mediocrity. I mean, let's admit it. God's not asking you to be mediocre. In fact, if you look in the book of Revelation, Jesus talks about be either hot or cold, because if you're just lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. He's not looking for mediocrity. He's not looking for you to settle for something or just to tolerate something. He's looking for you to have a holy marriage. And so if we're going to have a holy marriage, we have to look at the fact that first and foremost, you must pray. You need to have your own prayer life, but you need to pray together as a couple. Your marriage is first and foremost a spiritual union. And so my question is, what are you doing to build up that spiritual union? What are we doing to unite the souls at a more profound level? That can only happen through prayer. And if the devil is the one attacking your marriage, yes, he's attacking it on the natural level in many ways, but it's primarily attacking the foundation of your marriage, which is spiritual. So you need to pray. So you need to pray, again, like I said, you've got to have your own prayer. You have to pray together as a couple. You need to pray with your children. But then we need also to look at the question of what is at the foundation of your marriage. So you go back to the very day that you were married and ask yourself, what is it that I vowed to this other person and to God? That I was going to love this person. Now, I'm sure that if I asked all the married people here today, do you love your spouse? They would all tell me yes. If I asked your spouse, does your spouse love you? Maybe I wouldn't get the same answer, right? So maybe we need to stop and look at what that is. Because sometimes we get the idea that love is about emotions and love is about feelings and all this nonsense. Love is a virtue. Love is seeking the good of the other. Love is dying to self and living for the other. Love is serving the other. Love is putting the other one before yourself. These are not easy things. But that's what both have vowed to do. And if two people are truly loving one another, which is to give and to receive, how beautiful that's going to be. Now, before going any further, we need to remember that when our Lord talked about heaven, he told us that heaven is going to be a marriage banquet. Now, we think of marriage banquets as the reception after the wedding, but that's not what he's talking about. Remember, back then, a marriage banquet was 7 days long, and the marriage took place somewhere in the course of all of that that was going on. So when he talks about heaven as a marriage banquet, he's talking about it as a marriage. And for those whom our Lord has called to marriage, your life, your marriage, is supposed to be not only a preparation for eternity, but is also supposed to be a reflection of it. So ask yourself, do I want what's going on in my marriage to be what eternity is going to be if I get to heaven? Or let me present it to you a different way. Those of you who are married are supposed to be showing to those of us who are not married the beauty of what heaven is going to be. Two people who are absolutely, totally in love with one another, two people who are completely serving each other, two people who are just filled with respect and love for each other, and of course for their children. That's what people like me should see in you. Now, I can honestly say I haven't seen very many marriages that I can look at and say, ha, that is what I want heaven to look like when I get there. So you need to ask yourself, what do we need to do? If I've made a vow to love this person, am I really doing it? Again, I'm not suggesting you don't love your spouse. I'm saying, are you loving your spouse with your whole heart and soul and strength? Are you giving 100%? Are you really trying to help your spouse to become a saint? Are you really looking at what's going to be best for your spouse? Now, this is part of where we run into trouble, because the needs of males and females are about 180 degrees opposite. But the problem is that men think that women have the same needs as they do, and women think men have the same needs as they do. And the way that women treat men is the way that they want to be treated, and the way men treat women is the way that they want to be treated. And both wind up being frustrated because they're not having their needs met. So you need to start out by sitting down and, number one, ask yourself, if all things were perfect, what would you want your marriage to actually look like? What would it be? And now, what steps are you going to start making to get there? So you can't meet the needs of your spouse if you don't know what they are. So that's the place to begin. Talk to one another about what those needs are. Because if the other one truly loves you, they want to meet your needs, but if they don't know what they are, they can't meet them. And then from there, it's just looking at the whole relationship. How do you treat your spouse? When we heard in the collect, or the opening prayer today, that we are to follow the example of the Holy Family, most people would look at it and go, well, you know, we can't. I mean, after all, Our Lady is perfect. Saint Joseph is probably at the height of the spiritual life, and their son is God. that doesn't sound like my family. You're right, it doesn't. But we're not being asked to imitate the perfection of the Holy Family. It says that we're being asked to imitate the virtues of the Holy Family. So for the men, ask yourself, how do you think Saint Joseph treated our Blessed Lady? And for the ladies, how do you think that our Blessed Mother treated Saint Joseph? Because you recognize that not only are these things going to affect your relationship, but they're going to affect your children. Your children are learning from you how to treat one another, how to treat people of the opposite sex. So if you're rolling your eyes, if you're sighing, if you're making comments like, "Oh, such an idiot, what a moron," and yet you're going to turn right around and say, "Oh, but I love my spouse so much. What'd you just teach your kids? Your mom's an idiot. Your dad's a moron. Yeah, when dad does this, just roll your eyes because he's an idiot. We know that." No, that's not the way to teach your kids, and it's not the way to treat one another. I have my doubts that Our Lady ever once rolled her eyes because Saint Joseph was being an idiot. So again, where's the respect? Do we recognize those differences that we have as males and females and rejoice in those differences rather than letting them frustrate you? Remember, it was those differences that attracted you to this other person in the first place. And so if that's what attracted you, you should be rejoicing in it. But if you don't recognize the goodness of it, you're just going to be frustrated. So when we look at what St. Paul tells us in the second reading, he says that we're supposed to have all these various virtues, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiving, and so on. He said, above all, though, put on love, because all of those are simply aspects of charity. If we have that love for this other person, this is how we're going to treat them. And that's the example that we want to find. Now, following from that, we can look at it, and maybe you can look in your marriage and say, "I'm not feeling fulfilled." If that's the case, we need to look at why. Because even though love is giving and receiving, in our society, being so selfish, we have this idea that I will be fulfilled if my spouse treats me a certain way. You're going to find fulfillment in loving your spouse. Yes, you are to be loved by your spouse, but you're not going to find the fulfillment merely in being loved. You're going to find the fulfillment in loving. It's about the giving. And yes, it's a two-way street, and your spouse is to be loving you as well. But your fulfillment in a marriage is going to be found in loving more than in being loved. So even with that, what steps can you make? And again, don't settle for something less. A lot of people look at marriage and say, "Well, if this is the way my spouse is going to be, then I'm just going to treat him or her the same way." Don't do that. Because remember, on the day of judgment, God's not going to hold you responsible for how well your spouse loved you. He's going to hold you responsible for how well you loved your spouse, because that's what you promised. Your spouse will have to deal with how much he or she loved you. So how can you love your spouse more? A lot of people will look at the point that they want to love their children more, and that's an excellent thing. If you want to love your children more, you have to love your spouse more. And if you want to love your spouse more, you have to love God more. Because that's the nature of the way that love flows. We can never initiate love. We can only respond to it. So God has to give us the love first so that we can receive that love and then we can respond. From that, we are able to love our spouse. And from that, it overflows into our children. So if we look at it that way, again, going back to that point of prayer, the more that we can open our hearts to receive that grace of God in prayer, the more it's going to shape us and conform us to Christ. But in your marriage, if you're praying together, then you're opening up your marriage to the grace of God. It's not just two people trying to cooperate with God's grace, but now it's the two who have become one, united in God's grace and striving to cooperate together with that grace. That, again, is what's going to bring about the true holiness in your marriage. So the church is giving us this feast day to remind us that marriages are called to be holy, that families are called to be holy. And right now, with the family under attack, that holiness is what is most necessary. You need to protect your marriage and your family. So yes, you have to protect it on the natural level, but if, again, the attack is primarily on the spiritual level, you need to protect your marriage and your family through prayer, through the reception of the sacraments, through praying together, through doing things that are going to build up that marriage. That's where the focus needs to be. So look at your marriage. Look at what needs to change. And yes, change can be difficult. But God's not asking something easy of you, because He's asking you to be a saint. He's asking you to have a holy marriage. And He's asking you to have a holy family.